Namaste, Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pacharane, Naravase, Shishanivari Paschata Deshatarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Shivasati Gaurava Kavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto, chapter 3, verse 22-24. Yasya Brahmadaya Deva Aveda Lokas Chara Chara Nama Rupa Vibedena Fakya Cha Kalaya Krataha.
Yes, sir. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmadayaha. Great demigods like Brahma. Deva. Other demigods. Veda. Vedic knowledge. Loka. Different personalities. Charachara. Moving and non-moving. Namarupa. Different names and forms. Vibhedan. By such divisions. Fakya. Who are less important? Cha, also Kalaya by the parts, Krita, created. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates his minor parts and parcels, Jiva, Tattva, beginning with Lord Brahma, the demigods and expansions of Vedic knowledge, and including all of the living entities moving and non-moving with their different names and characteristics. As the sparks of a fire or the shining rays of the sun emanate from their source and merge into it again and again, the mind, intelligence, senses, the gross and subtle material bodies, and the continuous transformations of the different modes of nature all emanate from the Lord and again merge into him. He is neither demigod nor demon, neither human nor bird nor beast. He is not woman, man, neuter, nor is he animal. He is not a material quality, a fruit of activity, a manifestation or non-manifestation. He is the last word in the discrimination of not this, not this. And he is unlimited. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Report, this is a summary description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's unlimited potency. That Supreme One is acting in different phases by manifesting his parts and parcels, which are all simultaneously differently situated by his different potencies. Each and every potency is acting quite naturally. Therefore, the Lord is unlimited. Natatsamas, Chabitagas, Chajasyate, nothing is equal to him, nothing is nor is anything greater than him. Although he manifests himself in so many ways, personally he has nothing to do. Natasya Karyam Karanam Chabijate, for everything is done by expansions of his unlimited energy. So this is a description of how the Lord relates to everything else in existence. He's been talking on the topic of what pure devotion and mixed devotion, etc. Now we come back to a description of the Lord's inherent powers. So the problem always arises is how is the Lord related to everything else? So naturally, if he's Supreme Lord, he is superior. And then we can say he's the creator or he's the controller. And this gives us some sort of definition of a Supreme Lord. As well, he has to be not temporary. If he's a temporary thing, then he's not much different from everybody else. So he should be eternal. He should have more powers. He should have more knowledge. He should be creative. Everything comes from him, etc. But a problem arises in this relationship of the Lord and everything else. If everything is spiritual, there's not such a big problem. But when we get material things, there is a big problem. Because we get material bodies which are unconscious, we get material things, and this is considered to be ignorance. So how does ignorance arise from the Lord? So we can say, well, he creates it, and it's separate from him. But if he creates something called ignorance, he must have a potentiality of ignorance in himself, if he can create it. Just like if a man creates a pot, he must have some sort of ability to create the pot before he creates the pot. So somehow the pot is in his mind or something like this. So therefore, the Lord must have ignorance in his mind. Somehow he must have ignorance in him, you know, if he's to create ignorance. But that creates a little bit of a contradiction because the Lord is full of all knowledge. How can he have ignorance in him also? So that is one of the basic problems in having a world of ignorance, and then we have the Supreme Lord there who's full of all knowledge, etc. How can he create this? One can get around this by saying, of course, he doesn't create it. But he's in control of it eternally. And somehow it's dependent on him. So in terms of creation, there's no direct creation of Prakriti itself or whatever. And this is the position that we take, that actually Prakriti is eternal. It's not created. And simply by the Lord's inspiration, it manifests into different objects and material elements and etc. in the material world under his supervision. So then the Lord is in a superior position as far as control, etc. is concerned. Is he superior in the sense of being a creator then? Not in the literal sense, because it's eternal. But he is the creator in the sense that if he wishes it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist, that's all. So he can destroy it at his will if he wants to. So in that sense, he is the creator. But he doesn't do so. So in other words, in that sense, he is the creator. But it is eternal. Still, that we can say, well, that's putting the distance of the ignorance a little bit further away from the Lord, but still, somehow, it's related to him in this way of being, it exists by his will or doesn't exist by his will, etc. So it is still somewhat related to him somehow or other. How do we solve that problem? So we have various philosophies to solve that problem, various Vaishnava philosophies. If we're not a Vaishnava, then we can solve it another way and say it doesn't exist at all, and that's Mayavad philosophy. Or we can have another version, the Lord doesn't exist, only matter exists. That's Charvaka's philosophy. But if we say the Supreme Lord exists, who's completely independent of matter and ignorance, etc., and then we have this thing that's kind of related to him, what is the relationship? So one way of solving this is through the idea of Shakti. So we have the philosophy of transformation of energies. The energies transform into the material world, etc. And the Shaktis belong to the Lord. And they carry out creation, etc. So still the problem is there, well, the Lord has a Shakti of ignorance. So then that kind of puts ignorance on himself. So we call this the Bahiranga Shakti. External energy is quite separate from him, under his control, but separate. So this is the way of distancing the Lord from that energy. And this is expressed in the image of Mahavishnu glancing over Prakriti. He doesn't touch it at all. He looks at it from a distance and then begins to operate. So in that way, he's not contaminated by it. Still, we can say, well, still the energy is somehow the Lord's energy and he's Shaktivan, he possesses this energy, so it kind of stuck to him. He's still kind of ignorant. So, how do we solve that problem? We solve that problem by simply saying, by the inconceivable nature of the Lord, yes, he has this energy, but in no way detracts from him or affects him at all. Just by his inconceivable energy, his relationship with it is quite distant. In this way we solve that particular problem. The Lord also has other energies. That is the Chit Shakti, spiritual energy. This is called the Antaranga Shakti, which means internal energy. It's called internal because as opposed to external. The external energy, the distance from the Lord. And he doesn't touch it at all. Internal energy is part of himself. So obviously, he is in contact with it at all times, very intimately. Why do we say that? Because eternally, with the Lord, it operates and it never stops functioning. External energy stops functioning at a certain point and we have pralaya, nothing existing in the material world, and Prakriti disappears kind of, and it's sitting there, potential. Spiritual world always exists, form of the Lord always exists, qualities in the Lord exist, etc., all the time in the spiritual world. So that Chit Shakti is always operating and manifested. It never stops functioning. There's no disappearance of its functions at all. It is eternal, and it is always manifest in terms of name, form, qualities, activities of the Supreme Lord, Dhamma, abode, etc. All these things are manifested in the spiritual world. So, It's quite intrinsic to the Supreme Lord and his activities in the spiritual world. So, of course, it also operates in relation to the Lord himself. How does he experience bliss? Through his Shakti, flooding his Shakti. How does he perceive everything in the spiritual world? Through his Samvit Shakti. So internally it operates in the Lord in this body, so to speak, and it also operates outside him in relation to the whole spiritual world. So this is a Shakti of the Lord. Why do we have to say there's a Shakti to do all this spiritual stuff? Because the question will arise, we have the Supreme Lord, and he should be unchangeable, eternal, movement or anything that means. He can't move, he can't do anything, he can't smile, he can't do anything. It's unchanging. So the Shakti is there to accommodate within the unchanging substance of the Lord, his form, qualities, and activities, which do change. He does have activity. He does smile. He does look. He does things. He talks. This is change. He has activities. This is change. Due to his Shakti. Yet, in his essence, he doesn't change. Just like we have the Atma in the body. Atma doesn't change, but people are doing things all day long, activities. Atma's not doing anything in one sense. It's sitting there. And activities are going on in the material body. So the essence of the Atma doesn't change at all. Of course, we can say the Atma perceives, and that's a change also. But the essential nature of the Atma does not change. So how does he perceive? Through Shakti, again. So some of the qualities are there which are changeable through Shakti, and other things are essential to the Lord. His eternal, unchanging, conscious, those concepts do not change in the Atma or in the Supreme Lord. That's the Sarup, so to speak. Those are eternal aspects, unchanging. Then we have the changing aspects. He thinks, he does, he speaks, etc. This is all extra. So to accommodate the unchanging aspect, we have this essential nature, which is new, and then we have the Shaktis operating to create form, qualities, activities, which do have some change in them. So in the spiritual world, that means, there is activity, there is change in one sort. But the essential nature of the Lord is there. The essential nature of the Jivas are there. That is unchanging. So the question will arise, why do we need the change at all? And only answer to that is, the essential nature of the Lord is bliss. And because of bliss, everything manifests in the spiritual world to increase that bliss at all times through his Saladini Shakti and his other energies. So actually based on his Saladini Shakti, everything is based on that. Again, why can the Lord be blissful? Bliss must be changeable also. So then, because of Shakti again. Changes by the Shakti. But essentially, his nature is bliss itself. Therefore, the Lord manifests himself in the spiritual world with his different qualities, form, activities, etc. And then we have another Shakti, the Jiva. Tatastha Shakti, borderline, marginal energy. Borderline because it can choose either to be in the spiritual world or the material world. You make a choice. Unlike the Prakriti, matter, it is conscious. But unlike the Lord, it can exist and be covered by ignorance. That is the difference between the Jiva and the Supreme Lord. So the Jiva can be affected by Prakriti, ignorance, and get covered up with the material body, etc. That can't happen to the Supreme Lord at all. So that is the difference between the Jivas and the Supreme Lord. Of course, the other difference is Jiva is dependent, that is his nature. He is dependent on the Supreme Lord. He is not the Supreme Controller. He can't create universes. So many things he cannot do. So though he is conscious like the Lord, there's some limitation because of Lord having greater qualities. So, with these three Shaktis, then at four, we get spiritual world, material world, and the Jivas, who can exist in the material world with material bodies, or in the spiritual world with spiritual bodies. So in this way, we have a description of the whole of creation through the whole of whatever exists in the material world and the spiritual world and the Supreme Lord in terms of his Shaktis, his energies. With that concept of energy, we also can say there is difference. The Lord is not matter and therefore not Achit, because it is a Shakti of the Lord only. It is not himself. Or that the Jiva is not the Supreme Lord. He's a Shakti only. Or the internal energy is also Shakti. So there is a little bit of a difference between the Lord's form and the essential nature of the Lord. We can say we distinguish the two things. At the same time, we can also say that everything is the Lord. This has been stated before. Everything is the Lord. Matter is the Lord. Jiva is the Lord. Spiritual world is the Lord. Form is non-different from the Lord. Qualities of the Lord are non-different from the Lord. Why? Because the Shakti and the Shakti Man, the Supreme Lord, are non-different. They're also very closely related. So there's a non-difference also aspect between the Shakti and the person who emanates the Shakti. So there's a non-difference between the Lord and everything else. This is how we can explain statements like Sarvam Kalvidam Brahmat. Only Brahman exists. Only the Lord exists. This is the way in which Shakti can be used to explain these statements of the scriptures. So when it says here, the Lord created, Krita, or made as his expansions or parts with name, differences in name, form. When it relates to the Jivas, we cannot say that he created the Jivas as such in a point in time, but created in the sense that they're eternally dependent upon him. Or created in the sense that he supplies them with bodies by which they manifest in the material world. In that sense, we can say created. And when they come in the material world, it's exactly what happens. They get bodies which are distinguished from other bodies. Name and form. We can apply that same principle to energy itself. He manifests his energies that manifest material world, jivas with the material bodies, etc., and spiritual world. So in the spiritual world, we also have name, form, qualities, etc. How? Through his energy, through his kala, through his part. But it's eternally so. So Prakriti is eternal, jivas are eternal, spiritual world is eternal. So the Shaktis are eternal. Manifestations of Prakriti are not eternal. Material bodies of jivas are not eternal. But in the spiritual world, the jiva with spiritual body is eternal. If he gets one, there's no end to his spiritual body. In this way, there's some differences in the manifestation of these different Shaktis of the Lord. In any case, by saying the Lord is the creator, we mean the Lord is superior to everything else. He's superior to the Jivas, etc. Superior to the demigods. Vedas, of course, are in a little bit of a separate category. They're not like the living and moving and non-moving bodies of the living entities or the planets or anything like that. Vedas are actually eternal also. They're non-different from the Supreme Lord. So they manifest or they become invisible by the will of the Supreme Lord only. And the Vedas themselves are actually eternal, never changing. And if the material worlds disappear, the Vedas also disappear, but like property. They are someplace eternally situated in the Lord. So they are also eternal in their form, etc., like spiritual bodies, so to speak. So, but they manifest within the material world at a certain point in time, and there we have Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sam Veda, Tarva Veda. Differences in name and form are there when they manifest in the material world. Then they will disappear, and again they'll manifest with the same forms and qualities, etc. So, therefore the Supreme Lord is completely different from everything. An example is given later on in the next verses here of how the relationship exists. It is like sparks of a fire or rays of the sun. That means everything is related like rays of the sun or sparks of the fire. What does that mean? There are some qualities which are similar. There's also difference. Spark has got light like the fire, but it is different because it doesn't have much heat. And if we separate it far enough, it stops glowing completely. Okay? So it is not the same as the fire. But it is somewhat similar because it can give some light in small degree. Or the ray of the sun. It is completely dependent on the sun. If the sun is not there, the ray is not there. So it comes from the sun. At the same time, it has the qualities of light and heat. Again, not to the same capacity as the sun. So we can say that all the energies of the Lord are in that relationship. They depend upon the Lord. They manifest some of the qualities of the Lord, but at the same time not equal in any way to the Lord, and quite small actually. So the Lord is the cause in that sense, and everything is dependent on Him. So in that way we have rays of the sun, or particles of sunlight, etc., in relation to the sun. In terms of material energy, that material energy manifests and then becomes unmanifest. Material universes are created and then they're destroyed again. But the prakriti, the basic material, remains there. It's created and destroyed, created, destroyed, created, destroyed. That is how the material world goes on. Supreme Lord did not create and destroy it. The material world goes through this process continually. And it operates under the direction of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, matter, we see, is quite different from the Supreme Lord. Spiritual world is not created and destroyed. It remains there all the time. So in that sense, quite similar to the Supreme Lord. Spiritual world, spiritual bodies, etc. Material world is quite different. In the scriptures, usually we put more concentration upon material world and its creation, not so much discussion of spiritual world and what happens there. Why? Because this is where the jivas exist now. We're familiar with the material world. So we have a more elaborate description of how the material world is manifests through the different elements, and how again it dissolves back into prakriti again through the will of the Supreme Lord. To show thee that matter and material bodies are not independent of the Supreme Lord, nor are jivas independent of the Supreme Lord. Everything is related to Him. So this particular series of verses finally concludes with the idea of negation. Or neti, not this, not this, or nishad. What this means is, it is not, the Supreme Lord is not material world, is not the jiva, who is covered up by prakriti of the material world. It does not mean that the material world doesn't exist at all, or the jiva doesn't exist, or the Supreme Lord doesn't exist. It simply means that in reference to the Supreme Lord, that He is not any of these other things. They're all dependent upon him. So this, of course, is an Upanishadic statement. The Lord is not this, he is not that. And why it is brought up is because there is controversy about this statement. One interpretation is nothing exists except the Brahman. That is Mayavad philosophy. The other interpretation is that Brahman is not the material world. Doesn't mean the material world doesn't exist. The Lord is not the material world. The Lord is not the jiva. That is the Vaishnav meaning of that. So, Gajendra here is making some reference to the Upanishads or the Shruti, and giving the correct meaning to this by these verses here before the conclusion of not this, he's not this. So in other words, the Lord creates this. He doesn't say the Lord creates an illusion. He's creating something. If he creates an illusion, he's not creating anything, so you have no discussion to, nothing to describe the Lord with. But this whole description of how he creates all these different things and controls them, and then you say the whole thing is illusion. What is the use? He's not creating anything. Brahman is there, nothing exists. That's all you can say. So, in other words, the final statement is simply to, confirms the fact that the material world is real, the jiva is real, but under the control of the Supreme Lord, and therefore different from him. They are not the Supreme Lord, which is the Vaishnava position. Yeah, so we cannot take that literally in the sense, as I explained, that it is creation only in the sense that by his will it exists. If he wants to, you can destroy it. But it is eternal. In another sense, in the, when it talks about in the Upanishads, the Lord willed, let there be many, and then we have jivas in the material world. It's like a creation. Let me create things. So the explanation is, he simply creates the bodies for the living entities by manifesting prakriti into the material elements which turn into bodies. In that sense, creation only. Mm-hmm.